Welcome to Starfleet Universe On-Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a minor, joins me to talk guests every Thursday starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call the phone star 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or SFU on call or Starfleet Universe on call, and you'll find us there. But of course, if you want the best online experience, you got to go to twitch.tv. Yes, twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you'll find us there. Be able to join a lovely, happy band, i.e., the chat room, and join us there, which would be fantastic. Anytime you post there, I'll be happy to respond, possibly. To any discussion, especially if it's relevant to what we're talking about. Of course, sometimes the chat room goes off the deep end, but that's fine. That's what makes us. So, and if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, you want to follow me on Twitter or X or whatever it's called this week. You can follow the podcasting account at SFU on call or my personal account at Friends at Paul Franz. That's PAULFRANZ, no T in that. Or you can follow Franz Games, FRANZGMES. I'm still there at the moment. We'll just have to wait and see if the Elon does something crazy. I don't know. Really kill it. But onward and forward. Of course, a lovely talk cast gets into podcasts and is available on various other feeds, iTunes, and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB. Well, Steve Petrick is still working on the Orion Master Starship book. Also, they're still working on Module R6, both Steve Cole and Jean Sexton. I forget her married name. Sorry, Jean. And they're working on that. Also, this week's found in the online store is Module R1 2023, Base and Auxiliaries. This goes for $22.95, and it's newly updated in 2023. And module covers general ships for all the empires. The rulebook includes descriptions for the bases, such as a mobile base, commercial platform, a system activity maintenance station, ground bases such as a freighter, missile, and PF bases, freighters such as repair freighters, suicide and exploration freighters. That's weird. I'm sorry, suicide freighters, I thought they were just doing anything special about them. I guess they actually have their own SSDs. Okay, did not know that. You learn something new every day. And auxiliary naval ships such as PF tenders and space control ships. I'm sure there's, auxiliary naval ships. So it's like an auxiliary PF-10 or auxiliary space control ship, you know, when they wanted to be cheap and still have the availability of those, extra goodies. There's a better word for it. And at the moment, it just... And of course, moving on to the SFB Online tournaments. Well, tournament. The Sapphire Star 15 tournament has started. Signups are closed for it. I'll be posting the tree this weekend. I just saw it got posted. The matchups got posted, I think, today. I think it was today or yesterday. I can't quite remember. I remember the reply to the post was today. But, I forgot to see when Steve Petrick actually posted the tree. Moving on and forward, when it comes to client stuff, not much happened there. Moving on to the Starfleet Warlord stuff, I'm still working on a new website. I got a little more work done on the back end stuff. Haven't got to the point where I actually have tested to see if it actually works and does what it's supposed to do, but I will work on that this weekend. Obviously, the move to the new website is taking a little longer than expected. Big surprise. But I am still working on it. I'm still moving forward in that. When it comes to library progress, not much happening there. Frank did send me an updated, a fixed SSD, and I forget off the top of my head what that was. It was one of the Federation ships that got fixed. I did post it up so that it is now available. I will be posting up updates to the Klingons that he sent me, hopefully this weekend. I just got to sit down and grab it and do everything I need to do to update that. When it comes to the FedCom library, again, no progress there. So that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got me, you got Jeff. Say hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Say hi, Doug.
Hey.
So tonight we're going to continue on to, we're going to do part two of Starfleet Warlord. And actually, this time I actually have the Starfleet Warlord aid installed, so we can start off from there. And right before I actually start everything, actually, thing is, make sure that that's something just weird. Sorry, I apologize. And excuse me.
Paul, whatever you do, don't go on an away team trip with Captain Kirk.
Oh, I will not. Especially if I'm wearing a red shirt.
Hey, it works with Scotty.
Okay. Don't mind me. Hopefully this will work. Because Doug wanted me also to broadcast my screen to Discord. Problem is, to do that, I have to restart Discord.
Oh no.
And of course, I restarted Discord. What does it say? Oh, I'm downloading the updates, installing update. Oh, fun. So, give me a sec.
Yeah, it's fun.
No, go away. Okay, I'm back into there. Okay, now let's try. The screens. Just give me the tired screen. Go live. Okay, there it is. Now we should be good there, and don't mind me. I'm just getting myself set up here.
Pay no mind to the man behind the curtain.
Pay no mind to the man who's busy getting himself set up. Okay. Now.
At this point, you want to just wipe out what you did before and start the podcast over again?
No. Oops. One thing I do is also turn off the sound. Okay. So, hopefully, Doug's seeing everything. Okay. So, let me switch over to showing the screen in OBS so that everyone on Twitch can actually see my wonderful, gorgeous screen.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so what we do is we take the turn. Okay, this will leave us off about where we left off last week. Last week, we had entered in our initial build because at the beginning of every game, we have what's called initial build. Well, initial build is you have so many EEPs that you have at the starting of the game. And then you build your ship, you build your fleet from that. And you do initial build, which is just what's called purchase orders. Or do PS command, which is purchase ship. And then you enter in what is your empire. Then you enter in the ship designator. And then depending upon, there's some additional things that you can do, but initial build, you don't have the abilities. So actually you have the ability to buy a cloak if you want, but I think it's kind of out, you know, overall overrated. The beginning of the game, that is. Later on, I think you probably will want that. But moving on. Okay, so I brought up, I've ran the turn of actually, as being the DM, I've processed the turn. So now we have the zip file. So I brought up the Starfleet Warlord Aid, the graphical one, because in theory, if people want to, they can use, I have a one that looks like this. This is the actual engine that was written in Clipper. There's another one, which is the actual aid. Actually, let me bring that up. Because I have DOSBox, I can bring up the aid. So aid. And I just bring up the aid. And here is the actual aid. It's the old DOS-based program. Now, the problem is that with this version is you can run it as part of DOSBox. So if your platform that you use, whether it's Windows, Mac, Linux, whatever, supports DOSBox, you can run the actual DOS aid, DOS, the text-based one, which has, I'm pretty sure I've fixed all the limitations that were in the graphical the text had and the graphical one didn't. But I think I'm pretty sure I'm clear there. But you know, if you like text-based, you know, these are old text-based interfaces, it still works just fine. I'm sure you notice here, like, these are the things I've had forever and a half. Some of these probably no longer exist. Like, oh, Z4 DOS, no, I don't think so. Z Debug, I don't think so. Z Text Util, I don't think so. Clip 5.3 bin, nope. That doesn't exist because that was my vision of Clipper. That I used to actually do compile on this. And this stuff is like, okay, here's DOSBox mount command and all that kind of fun stuff. But that allows you to run those DOS-based apps in a DOSBox. And it works fine. I still have some people actually use this aid. Other Windows, a lot of times it will work without DOSBox. In some version of Windows, it seems like it requires DOSBox. I don't understand why, but it does work. It's not super speedy, which because it's completely an emulator, but it works fine. Because one thing, remember, this is DOSBox. This looks executable is actually x86. It's Intel. This Mac that I'm showing this on, this is an Apple Silicon app. So Silicon, Apple Silicon, that's the CPU. So it's not, so this is completely an emulation of Intel. It's crazy, it works, you know. But anyway, okay, this actually is the engine, and actually I compiled it because I have the source code. Because unfortunately, I forgot, I'm sorry, I forgot. I cannot compile the aid to be on a different operating system for one reason. That's the great, great hard drive crash from Bruce Grawl, where he lost, in addition to losing Omega, a lot of Omega empires, you know, all those were written up, all the documentation, everything that he wrote up for him is gone. I wish you would have kept the hard drives, because I think we might have been able to salvage it by now. Probably could have salvaged it back then, just didn't know about GRC. But anyhow, in that great crash, he lost the source code to the Starfleet Warlord 8. So if I had the source code of Starfleet Warlord 8, hey, then I could recompile it, because that's what I got here. I'm actually this is a native executable on the Apple, and I can run it on FreeBSD. I can run on Linux. I can run on Windows. I can run on multiple platforms. It actually works quite well, and I have to remember to have it compile under FreeBSD. I actually had to turn off a lot of the additional third parties for Harbor. It was crazy. But anyway, going back to her, so right here in this create player name, Paul Francis for the aid. What that does is you actually can switch between players. It allows you to actually have multiple players on this. And so what now I'm gonna do it. Oh boy. Oh, there it is. And input file. So what I need to do is go here. And that would be And clip 2553 still there. Who knew? And this is going to be T4 and Corporation 11. So open that up, and then I can open up the game. And here you'll see the sector scans. So we can bring up a sector scan, and it shows you these are. Everything and this is the game report, and then the game report. You'll notice that the home office is at 11. That is sector 11, hex 071, and this shows that so the purchase orders here, and the post turn status. The important thing here will be not the accounting information, but okay. You won't see it on this one. I thought, but I totally forgot that you don't see it, which is your your financials when it comes to your corporation. Like that. Now I see here are the ships I have. I have two warp gates. I have all these wonderful ships. Now if I want to place in my orders, because the one thing about this was the sector was okay, so it was, did it say 1107? That doesn't make some sense. No, it's 711. That's what it is. So it's right here. Here it is. I got a nice dual planet in here. So what I'm probably going to want to do is I want to see if I can go and where's a gas giant. Here's a gas giant down here. And then we have another planet over here. So what we do is we come over here, we go orders. Now, what do I want to do? I'll probably want to do this, which is 701 and then 0709. And same, I'm going to do the same thing here. I'm going to go ahead and go over here. Now, the thing is, the aid does this. See? It goes, hey, wait a minute, 0808, that's an invalid. It's an invalid move. Now, to be honest, it might be an invalid, it might not. Here's the reason why. If there is a Stargate, an SG, what that will allow you to do is actually jump, if that hex, if 710 actually contain the hex, so Stargate, you won't see it on a terrain, but when you find it, Well, what happened is it will move, it'll jump you to another part on the map. So if you know that there's a Stargate, and you do like this 710, and let's say this was 1401, but you know that the Stargate leaves you out at 1302, then that's completely a valid move, even though it's highlighted in red and says, oh yeah, that's an invalid move. So this one's actually not an issue. I want to do that. And here, what I'm going to do is let's go to 810 and then move over to 8. Yeah. 810, and this one will move to 9 and 09. And this one, 1209. There. Because the idea here, when your first turn, in my mind, the goal is to capture your major sites as quickly as possible. Also, usually it's a good idea to kill the monster. There's usually one monster in your home sector. Let's go over here. And do we have Scania? There's a foreign ship in 1407. What that's going to be, though, in 1407, that's right here, there's a monster. Now, I'm not sure how strong that monster is. So, but it's going to probably come towards me, though. I think, I'm not sure if it'll avoid this or not. But we'll find out soon enough, because it's possible it might move enough and actually intercept me, and either one or two things will happen. Either that it's going to be too strong and my ship will bounce, because that's what happens with fleets when you do movement. That if, because the turns are run not simultaneously, not simultaneously, but they're sequentially. But all other people's orders must be in for the turn before me, the DM, will actually run those turns. Now, if you run into a person, you know, there's a hex that there's an enemy unit, whether it is a player, a non-player, or, you know, like the Orions basically one of the NPCs or one of the players, non-player corporations, and it's too strong. What it'll do a bounce, which means it will go into the hex and go, oh wait a minute, you're too strong, and bounce back to exactly the location that you were before. Now, the thing is that whether it's another player or an NPC, they cannot react until the next turn. So obviously one thing you want to do, especially if you get a bounce where he's stronger than you, you probably want to move. Because if you don't move and they move into your hex, they will fight you, and there's a possibility that you will die. Now, I think I mentioned this last week, but I'll mention it again if I did, which is one thing to keep in mind. Just because that you are the attacker and you're stronger than the defense doesn't mean an automatic win. There is some randomness to your attacks. There's I'd say kind of a die roll, but it's not actually a die roll. It's random, but it's not a die, i.e. a d20 or d6 or whatever. It actually takes the amount of your attack and rolls based on how much you can attack. Let's go here. Okay, give me a sec here. And this one, what I'm going to want to do is I'm going to take him down here to this, because I want to try to get, because this is going to be relatively good prospecting. So I can get money, you know, EAPS. Resources, which then get turned into EAPS relatively quickly. So let's go here and go up. There. 811. 192. 192. And finally, there. Okay. Another PR. Either something I want to go. No, what the heck? Oh, we got another one right here. Cool. Actually, since that one's close enough, what I might want to do is this, which is I want, give me this one, because I should be able to do this without issue. You never know, but let's try it. I'm going to use one of my warp gates to go down there. And let's go down to that one, which is actually, hold on. Actually, that's correct. 713, 813. That was 713, 813. Oops, wrong way. That's supposed to be 613. I'm going to do this quickly here. And actually, this one, I'm going to have them. Not sure. Because this is a minesweeper, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and see if I can head towards this old minefield here. I'm going to send him up north. So it's going to be like there. There and scout. I definitely want to send him up north because the one thing about a scout is that it can do a scan of the terrain. If I make it across the border, then what I can do is. Because I can then, if I can make it safely across the sector border, then I can then do a terrain scan so I can see what the map is of the terrain. Now, here's the problem at the moment, and that is if I go across that border and I run into, something that could kill me on the hex, then it's dead. But that's the chance you have to take because it's blind. You don't know what the next sector over contains. You don't even know, you know, if there's a hostile. Like, and it's over here.
What you do is you end up reconning force, huh?
Yep. Well, that's the next thing you have to start thinking about, which is that after you've done initial layout, then what you want to do is you're going to start buying some ships that have a little more punch to them. They're not, unless we're exploring more for reinforcement, especially in the case of if you run into another corporation, you run into a monster that's a little stronger than any scout that you got. You're going to need that to kill it or to defeat, you know, opposing player's force. Okay. Okay, I think I'm gonna just do I'm gonna do that and let me just go here, and what I want to do is just see how much it should tell me. Post turn, there it is. I still got 300 eeps left over. Yeah. So now I'm gonna cheat here just a bit, which is I wanted to see what is the current prices. And what I'm gonna do is one thing, it's 166, so I could what would be a good one? Probably where is it? There it is. Find. Give me a Fed DD. That'd probably be a good one to start off with. DDL. Hey, DDL would be good. Yeah. That's actually interesting because the DD is attack of 30, but defense of 24. Shield factor 20. So actually buying a DD is actually better when it comes to an attacking force. So I'm going to buy, and that's only 94. So what I'm going to do is first, pick race. That, I don't know. Because the thing is, now it matters. Because if you that's one thing, that if you start purchasing ships that you don't have not chosen a race for, then you buy that at a penalty. I think it was 10% or 20%, or possibly 30% penalty for buying a ship that you don't actually have picked a race for. Now, there are games that you can sit that can be set up. There's no races, so it's zero. In which case, there is no penalty for picking a one. And give me, I think what I want is actually just double check which inch. Nope, that doesn't exist. About survey. No. Probably want is something that I can purchase. That might not be bad. Let's purchase a knight. And a knight. And I think that's good enough for the moment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a save. Save that here. I'm going to minor quote unquote cheat. And it's not really a cheat. There.
That sounds like a denial.
It's not a cheat. What it is, it allows me to, because normally also, I normally copy this to the downloads directory, then I have this guy, Hazel. I have a bunch of rules for the downloads folder, so if it sees an 8 file, a game file, it will automatically copy it to that directory, is what it will do. So.
Oh, I see.
So. Okay, we already ran it, so let's go to the, all ran. Okay, so now I'm going to. Not seeing it, which is weird. I could have sworn it saved it there. This is, take a look, see. But I just, why didn't I save it then? Oh. Okay, so that's lost that. The orders are to save again. This time I'm going to save it. There it is. Not sure what happened. I'll look at it later tonight and go, that's where it went. That was weird. Okay, so find that. Yeah, it looks fine. Looks good. There's the orders. Now let's run it. And go, yeah, fine. There anyway. And then save that off. Okay, and that's here. Let's run the orders. That'd be 166. That runs. That. It's all created, so now I can go back here. Excuse me. Kitty! No, you're gonna get down. Yes, I have.
The mandatory Kazan invasion.
Yes, exactly. Okay, it's closed down that one and put the file again. This time let's go over there. And this one. Yes, it is the fifth. It's all imported. Here's one 67, and it's view. Okay. Okay, so according to this, when I went to 11.05.02 planet, you know, with three moons, it's got three people, two oars, to the 22 oars, 22 dioders and 33 FP, and I forgot what that stands for, and I apologize. I really should look those up between. And same thing here, got another planet on 0514, this time only one. And I own this, so now I've got three. Oh, and now I got three planets because I also have a gas giant with five moons. That's has a nice bit of cash. And okay. I must have turned off the race stuff. Cause oh yeah. There it is. Cause 92 weeks and so I know now two new brand new ships. Now if I wanted to, I could have placed the ships on a warp gate so they would have been farther out, but these I just have in the home office. And actually had a random event. A pirate ship requested landing right on your home office. You're about to refuse, but he says he is a bargain for you. They will load up his cargo base with EAPS. He will see to it that every ship you buy next turn has a modular weapon, meaning that you can do a change mission to, you know, using MSN, you know, the X, order like the Orions can. If you agree to this deal, issue the QS order next turn before you buy ships. So that's cool. And then at the end, it says, okay, well, at the end of the turn, I got 309 EAPS. And according to this, next turn's income will be around 144 EAPS because of the dilithium crisis, the 144. You got ores at 211 and people at 198 and FPs, the 163. And you have to take the smallest, which is going to be 144. Now, the problem is, of course, that includes news. And also, unfortunately, you have to pay for ship support, maintenance costs, you know. And that's going to cost me 27 FP, which is always lots and lots of fun, is paying support costs. So I got some more plants. I've started building my empire. Well, my little thing, you know, now I have a couple more ships. Hopefully, you know, and I forget. I'm pretty sure. Unfortunately, there looks like there's a minor bug. Because Apple Silicon. I really need to recompile this thing. But anyway, you see, I still got all the wonderful ships in there. Actually, and when I do this right now is just for giggles, which I'm going to bring up to the file. And it's going to be... Da-da-da. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show... what the same turn will look like if you're using the web, the quote-unquote web client. Actually, it's not turns. I want the reports is what I want, which is right here. So there's the extra orders and star bases. The whole idea of this, actually, as I mentioned in the past, it's been a while since I did that. Here's the information. You got crew 3, age 1, minesweeper, a scout. Here's all the locations you have, all the crews, and then the different kinds of moves you can make. Now, this is still really basic at the moment. So the moves themselves aren't validated. So I can type in this and then go on to the next one and say, okay, that, but that. This is invalid. I need to work out how to, at the very least, have it so it validates this. Because what I'm thinking about is, I tried a while ago to actually do a validation and just try to change the color of this, and it didn't work. I'm not sure what I need to do to actually have it so it changes the color. What I might see if I can do is, if I can add additional column here, and also for a star bases when it is, have a validation column, and it will say whether there's an error or not in that row. So it actually can do some validation. That's what I'm hoping to do. Now, when you're all said and done, then for this, then what you do, you just click save. Voila. And it saves you to your local drive, and then you can then open it up again. In this case, it should save it directly to the downloads. And there, and load that up, boom. Because the one thing that, as I mentioned in a previous episode, which is this screen does not save. So if I go back, actually in theory, if I click here, it's empty now. So I lost any ships and so forth, but no, since I saved it, I can just click there and boom, voila, it's back. So the idea is that you use it as a program, and then when you're done, if you are going to work on it for a bit, you can then save it off, and then you can reload it. You just click save, and then you can come back and keep on adding new orders to it then. And then after it's all said and done, what you do is you send the little web orders JSON file to me. And then I read it in, and I actually would load that into the engine. So so if you want to do that, feel free. It's a nice little tool. As I said, currently it doesn't do validation like the graphical tool does. This one actually does, as I showed you, it does validation. And what you do is you keep going this one turn after the other. The idea is to kill things. Let me just do one quick thing here, which is, there it is. And as you see, that foreign ship is now at 10:05. So it moved. So keep an eye. And there's mine, of course, is a beginner's one. So it's going to minus K things like, oh, support fee. Don't forget that starting the next turn, there'll be a ship support fee charged for every ship you own. This fee will be equal to 2.5% of the base EAP cost of your ship, including fighters, PFs, and commandos, and will pay in FP resources as described in the rulebook. Note that this fee will be subtracted during the income phase before any orders can be issued. So basically, it's done at the beginning of the turn, so that if you got to remember that you're going to pay for the support costs, i.e. look at how much your support costs you'll be paying for next turn. And so that if you go try to, when you're purchasing something, or whether it is a ship or purchasing fighters or PFs or commandos or T-bombs, keep that in mind that the number of EAPs you have will probably be lessened by that. Obviously, not necessarily will be lessened, because if you have a lot of FP, then, it might not affect you at all. When it comes to EAPs, obviously it will at some point. But anyway. So, and you'll keep doing that. Now, sorry, I got my other cat. My larger Zindy. I'm not about to pick him up because he is heavy cat.
Are you a heavy cat? Yes, you're a heavy cat.
He's like twice the, not twice the size, but twice the weight. So.
Uh-huh. All right. So Lord Marshal Chunk.
Yeah. Here, I'll try anyway. It's a canoe the bug.
Yep, Lord Marshal Chonk it is.
So, but anyway, you continue, you put in these, you continue to explore your sector, you explore the next sector over, and the idea is that you will conquer, especially the major sites, as if you, in the case, it's for each sector, if you own all of the major sites for that sector, you get a sector bonus, which is quite cool. And so you get more EAPs because you have a sector bonus. I forget how much you get is a sector bonus off the top of my head. It's not one of the things that I remember. As I said, I helped run the game. I have not really played the game that much, so I don't have the rules memorized. And of course, also I didn't write the rules. Oh, it makes things difficult. But anyway. And at the moment, you probably didn't see that this is, I explained it, which is basically, this is a 3x3 learner's game. A learner's game allows you just to test, play around with it, run the orders, you'll run the game, and see how quickly, you know, you can play. I allow people to play up to like 10 turns because I figure 10 turns is a good idea. Now, if someone asked me if they could play longer, I'd be happy to let them play longer. If they really want to, like, oh, maybe I'm not going to say conquer all 9 sectors because that I'll take longer than that. But I can understand maybe going to 20 turns, maybe just to feel that they've actually accomplished something. You know, might even taken over, because one thing about the players is that as you see, my home office for this corporation is right here at 0711. Now, if you take over a person's home office, that person is, they're considered dead. Their ship still exists. It's not like they all of a sudden they disappear. They're still in the game. But the player can no longer submit orders. So that is what that is. Now, I've not done this for a while. I might at some point bring up the possibility. The engine does support the idea of what's called nomad home offices, i.e. you don't actually have a home office. If you don't have a home office, you continue to play. It just means that you no longer have a home office. So that you have to have warp gates. But if all your warp gates go bye-bye, if you have a player that actually kills all your warp gates, at that point you're dead. You can then play as long as you want to you can play until all your ships are gone is what you can do, which honestly, if somebody, it would be a rare thing to actually have someone completely wipe out another corporation. I've never seen that. I've never seen in all the time playing. They usually just, they kill the home office to knock out the player, and then they deal with the player's ships as they are, because the player's ships stop moving, which can be kind of interesting if you think about it. Because if you allow for nomad home offices, then they can still move. They can still fight. They can still attack. You know, so makes things a little bit interesting, I think. I have not done one of those for a long time. I did, I think, way back when. Oh, jeez, I forget which. It was a diehard game. I forget which one it was. But it's been easily over 5 years, if not longer. I know it's longer. Because I know 5 years ago I moved into this place. So I know it's been longer than that. So, to say the very least, it's an interesting game. I hope that you guys that were watching have a better idea of what Starfleet Warlord is, or at least how it plays. Obviously, there's a lot more to it than what I showed. You know, when it comes to for example, one of those things that I'm not sure you noticed or not, but basically the price of the ships go up and down like a stock market. And the more popular a ship is, the higher the cost goes up. The lesser the ship is purchased, the lower the price goes down. The price will go down then. Now, it won't go down below the base, but it also always starts at a certain base level, and then, you know, then it'll go up or down based on demand for that ship. And beyond, there's certain ships that you can now, because of that, if you actually want to know what the current price is, there's an order called AA. And what that will do is you take like AAF for Federation, and then let's say CA for the heavy cruiser. And what that will do is that will tell you what's the current price of a Federation heavy cruiser. You know, with the report with your report for the next turn. So that you can know how much it's gonna cost you to buy one. Now, there's also all kinds of other things like in that purchase ship order, there's many other features. You can buy a cloak if cloaks are allowed for that ship. And then there is you can specify warp gate. Also, you can specify a max price that you're willing to purchase a unit for. This is actually very helpful if you don't want to use the AA rule, AA order, to find out what the cost is, and you basically will know that, okay, you can set up a whole set of purchase orders, purchase ship orders, that actually will either succeed or fail based on a certain cost. And there are certain ships that you definitely want to have the money for. You know what the cost is, but you don't know some of the other ones. Then at that point, the other ones, you might want to set a limit. Say, okay, I know I have this much money, but if these two ships, the other ships before it, they get more too expensive, I won't be able to buy the ship that I really want. You know? Now, obviously, one way of doing that, you can switch around the orders, because you have that as like your first ship. But at the same time, you might not be willing to spend, a Federation heavy cruiser, I've never seen this occur, is cost like twice as much. Instead of costing like 135 EEPs, it costs 270 EEPs. I've never seen this. That's gotten twice the cost when it comes to at least Federation heavy cruiser. You might say, well, that's too rich for my blood. So you can do that if you don't feel that you can actually it's worth the money to spend twice as much for a ship, and because you need that there's only so much that you want to spend, you're looking for a sale, those things are when people go to shopping stores, shopping malls and shopping centers, and like, I'm just looking for the sales. I'm looking for the sales. So I think we will wrap it up there. I've enjoyed having you guys watch this, and hopefully you have a better idea of what Starfleet Warlord is. And if obviously you're interested, you can go to play-e-mail. play-buy-e-mail.com. That's the Starfleet Warlord site. Obviously, you should be able to also search for Starfleet Warlord, and it should take you to that site. And you can create an account. The account costs you $1 to have a registered account. $1 through PayPal. And obviously, you can go for free if you actually say, oh, I created an account, and then you email me saying, okay, I've created an account. Can you have it validated? As that's another way of doing it. But most people just pay the $1, and also I don't advertise that you can do it for free if you contact me. But it is what it is. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.